Hello!
I'm Danny.
And I'm James.
And welcome to another episode of
Let's Talk. What are we talking about this week, Danny?
So, this week, James, we are talking about success versus muggle jobs. Now, for those of you that don't know, a muggle job is what us actors lovingly refer to as the day job.
As the day job. Can we just talk about how we're talking about success and all of a sudden we went very, like, corporate and it turned hello, we are here and this week we are talking about success. It's like we were doing a bloody TED talk.
We went very official, didn't we?
Yeah. But I love that. Day jobs as well, muggle jobs. Mm-hmm. It's such a weird concept that when you go do jobs, when you are successful... And we're just there, and we're all talking about muggle jobs that we're returning to post-show. Mm. And, yeah, it's just a crazy world, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't really know... Well, I think I know one person that's kind of got... Or says they've got it right with the day job.
Oh,
do you know what I mean? Like,
there's
so many different things you can do. And if you do, like, a full-time thing that pays you more money, then you don't have the flexibility... But then if you do something flexible that's less hours, you don't get as much money.
This is the thing, isn't it? And it's so easy to fall into that trap of, oh, well, the money's really good, so I'm going to do it a bit more. And then you do a few more hours, then you go full time, and then you end up doing that job rather than acting. Yeah. But that's okay for some people. I think it's a really good path to realising that actually you are ready to... not give up on acting, but at least for the time being, just put it on the back burner. I think it's really healthy in some cases for some people. But I know for a fact that if I if I get a 9-to-5, I'm not coming back. I'm moving into my 3-bed house in the suburbs and I'm settling down. That'll be me done.
Yeah. It's hard though, because I've been doing... Well, good question to start with, James. What muggle jobs have you done?
Oh my gosh, that's so true. What have I done? I've done a lot. I've done a few various things. My main thing is I've taught at Stagecoaches. So I teach drama, bit of singing. Don't teach dance. We wouldn't want me teaching dance. Although, saying that, I did cover a dance lesson once and it was hilarious. I was asked to cover... I normally teach on a Saturday morning, but I was asked to cover an afternoon dance class. And I went, yeah, sure, why not? It was the funniest 3 hours of my life. The kids were just looking at me like, are you sure we've got you? Is this... And I was like, I'm gatekeeping, it's fine. I'm just making sure that you don't kill yourselves. You just have a bit of fun, flail around to some music.
Yeah.
I feel like we did a Hairspray number. So, you know, who know me and that are listening, Hairspray is one of my favourite musicals. So the passion was there.
Oh, yeah.
What was the talent and ability? Well, that's left to be seen. But
maybe it was good, though, because the kids were like, ah, this is what not to do.
Yeah. Well, careful, because I will get offended very easily. No, it was chaos. I think I tried to make it like a movement-y based thing. We're going to move our bodies to the music and hope for the best.
Yeah. Well, you are a good mover, to be fair.
I mean, yeah. I try.
It's not like you can't dance.
It's not, but I wouldn't pay me to do it professionally. but yeah, so I've done that. Other muggle jobs, I sold wine. For a call centre, I was on the phone selling wine to people who didn't want wine at 11 o'clock in the morning when I was ringing up. That was fun. What else have I done?
You must have done like restaurant, bar.
Do you know what? I've never done restaurant or bar. I've never done it.
And
it's really annoying now because I've not got the experience and I'm 27. So if I go into a bar and I'm like, hi, can I have a job? Most of them are like, But you're old and don't have experience. They want to hire like a 18-year-old who's fresh and like. So yeah, I've managed to avoid it weirdly. What about you?
Oh God, I've done loads of random stuff. I also have taught at Stagecoach, and I used to teach the early stages, which is children that are 4 to 6 years old. And then I've moved up in the world and gone to the main stages.
Way.
I've taught dance. I've like covered pretty much every discipline.
Yeah.
I've covered drama for like a term, covered like singing lessons, done all of it. And then I've worked as a cleaner. I've worked in many bars and many restaurants and many coffee shops.
You've sold electric scooters.
I have worked with electric scooters, yeah.
Well, not sold any, because did they
not
ever
sold any,
did they ever have a scooter?
If you're interested in the scooter, don't be, because they're still not on the market 3 years later.
But we don't talk about
that.
We move. We live.
Not on an electric scooter, we don't move.
No, no, because it
in
hasn't
a car,
been made
we
yet.
Move. Yeah.
You literally have done so many amazing muggle jobs. But I think the best thing for you is you're so like adamant that, not adamant because it makes it sound like it's not what you're good at, but you're so convicted with your choice to be an actor. Like you don't let any of these jobs hold you back.
Mm. Yeah, I literally got it written into my contract with the electric scooter company that I could leave for acting work and come back. I literally wrote it out myself, this clause, and I was like, I can give you less than 24 hours notice. No, minimum of 24 hours notice, but no maximum, obviously. And I can take unpaid leave for a minimum of 1 day, maximum of 3 weeks. But over 3 weeks, I think this was their stipulation, like over 3 weeks, I had to consult them a bit more, basically.
Yeah,
essentially, I would have just left. And yeah, I only had to give them like a week's notice or something if I could leave, like as in full, you know, quit. So it was great. I mean, the job wasn't great. It was horrific.
I was going to say,
worst experience of my life.
But... is that probably your worst experience?
Yeah.
Because I think mine's the wine one. But it was the best and worst, because when we were doing, obviously, for me, the best jobs, muggle jobs, are totally not theatre. Like, my idea of hell would be to go and work in a theatre.
Mm.
So I'm seeing what I want to be doing, and I'm seeing people do that. So my idea of a best job is going somewhere where I'm totally out of that theatre bubble. It's just really refreshing to switch off from it all. So in that sense, this wine job was perfect, because I love wine. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone listening knows that we try to plug you with getting a glass of wine to listen to. So I hope you're listening with a glass now. But yeah, I was selling it. And when it was good, I was speaking to people who actually loved wine. I was tailoring little wine cases together for them, getting them like the new bottles to try, extra bottles if they wanted to add something to the plan. And it was really nice sitting and chatting to people about wine. We did I've got a wine qualification.
No.
They gave us a wine qualification as part of the training. We did tastings, pairings with cheeses, with cured meat. It was,
oh my god,
honestly, it sounds like a dream, doesn't it? But this is where we get to the bad stuff. So most of the time I wasn't doing this really fun communication with customers who actually wanted to buy wine. I was trying to get people onto the wine plan, and basically past customers. So it wasn't quite cold calling, because they'd bought from us previously, but it came across like a phone call, and we had this horrible, massive, chunky speech that we had to read. And it was like, hello, I'm James from blah blah wines and blah 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 blah. And it ended, I still remember it to this bloody day. So, are you feeling a red, white, or a bit of a mix at the moment? And I hated every second of it. But what really did it in for me and pushed me over the edge was we were talking about what we should do because we got quite a lot of elderly people. And you could tell some of them were really not in a place to be buying wine.
Oh, no.
Yeah, really bad. And we were speaking in a group meeting before we started one day about what we should do. And our supervisor basically said, you just sell. And what someone else piped up and said, so you're telling us if there's an elderly person who we can clearly see or hear, sorry, is not okay and shouldn't be, we shouldn't be going through with this sale. What do we do? And they went, well, unless they say something, you sell to them.
Aww.
Yeah, so it was really, really horrible. And I was like, at that point, no, go f*** yourself. That's not for me.
It's not ethical.
No, it was. Well, it's not, is it? It's awful.
No.
So, yeah, that was my worst one. even though I got a wine qualification and got to... Oh, we did have incentives. We could have won a bottle of wine on a Friday.
Oh.
Which was really nice.
That is a good incentive.
Yeah. Fun times.
I feel like because we've talked so much about muggle jobs, I should ask you this question.
Go on.
How do you feel when you have to go back to your muggle job after an acting job?
It's hard, isn't it? Because you've always got anyone who's done any kind of performing or had any sort of break from normality gets this kind of post-show blues or post-project blues, whatever it is. Same as post-holiday blues, isn't it? When you come back off a really nice holiday and then you have to go back to the office.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much that. I think it's a little heightened because obviously when you are successful, which we'll talk about in part two, but when you are having those successful runs, there can be really big highs, like, and then you're going into essentially a bit of a low if you're not happy with a muggle job. But yeah, I definitely feel that. I'm like any other human. I'm not an alien, I promise. But yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard. I mean, the job that I've just done this year, like, I met some lovely, gorgeous actors, and one of them in particular was telling me how, you know, he sort of got it made with his day job because he really enjoys it.
What is this day job? I'm so...
So he works for Sage Kitchens, not an ad.
Not an ad. We're not sponsored not by or affiliated with Sage Kitchens.
No, unfortunately. But if you want to give me a discount on a coffee machine,
come on, Sage.
I'm down for it.
Pop
I'm
off.
Here for it. Send me the code. but he started off, I think, they have a job basically where you get trained on their machines and you stand in a John Lewis with one of their machines or like in another store.
Oh, wow.
And like basically make coffees for people and then try and sell the machines and like the kettles and all the sort of paraphernalia that comes with with the stuff. And then you get an hourly rate and you get commission. But what my friend Luke does is he trains people how to do this job.
Oh my!
And trains other people how to use other appliances and stuff that Sage sell. And he's been on like QVC selling a microwave or like selling a saucepan, and he's like cooking the meal like he's on, you know, Sunday morning brunch.
That's the dream.
And he's just got it made because it's still sort of like all, you know, I don't want to give too much away about his situation, but you know, it's all kind of under his control and he has say when he works and when he doesn't. And he just finds it really fulfilling. So then when I was coming back from that job going, okay, so I'm going to be working in a coffee shop with on Clapham Common with some people who are all pretty much new. Like they're all, because there's obviously such high turnover. Like I don't really know who the staff are anymore because whilst I've been away, so many people have left and new people have joined. And I was just like, yeah, I'm not really enjoying this one.
Well, I think we need to make a game out of this. For our listeners, anyone London-based, if you're listening to this and you manage to find Danny's coffee shop on Clapham Common, if you find Danny and quote, let's talk at her, she won't give you a free coffee because that might get you banned.
It won't.
But, well, there you go. I didn't
free
say
coffee.
That. Free coffee.
Let's do it.
Don't make it stalky. Don't like stalk her into the coffee shop. That's weird. It has to be an organic interaction. But yeah, get on it.
Oh my God.
Let's How talk 2023. Yeah. There'll be posters.
True. Also, I might quit this week, so this might not work. If not, I might be in a John Lewis selling coffee. Okay, so our next section, as I'm sure you're familiar with now, our regular listeners, is called
Let's Talk Videos. We love it. We love it. Who's going first this week?
I want to watch your video first.
Okay, please do.
Because you said it was silly.
It
and
is.
I want
it's
some
stupid.
Silliness in my life.
So we've gone. Yeah, she's just seen the thumbnail. You haven't missed anything, anybody. Don't worry. So the themes for these videos were success or muggle jobs. So I've chosen success and, yeah, hit that play button.
Okay, here we go.
Wait, you didn't poop?
No, I peed.
You peed? I thought you pooped too.
I did poop.
Did you?
The dad is crying.
He's literally crying. And the kid's like, "Daddy, are you sad?" And he's like, "No, I'm really not. I'm happy, I swear."
It's funny. It's really funny.
His little soul.
I know.
No, it's.
Hey, did you poop?
Did you poop?
Absolutely adorable.
No, I'm very happy.
No.
I'm very happy. Here, look. Look, very happy.
He's like, "I'm not sure if you are happy."
Are you lying to me, Father?
I peed.
Yeah. So, obviously, that's the successes of...
High five.
The successes of managing to pee and poo on the potty. I was like, success can come in many different forms.
I love that.
You know, I thought we could do with a bit of happiness.
We're keeping it real.
That
is a real success.
Go on, let's do yours.
You're going to have to skip to 1 minute in because this guy chats away.
Chats away.
For England. Oh, my God.
Not coffee that's too fresh or too old. For example, this is some latte art that I poured with coffee that's a little bit over a month old, and you can see that the crema just gets really sticky.
And so when you start to pour your pattern,
it kind of just gets sucked into the crema, and it's not as defined as if you had freshly roasted
coffee. Oh my God, he's Australian!
So freshly roasted coffee that's about
We're going to adjust the grind.
The crema will then have settled down a little bit, but it won't be sticky, and it'll help you to pour your nice patterns into the surface of the crema.
I actually
the
love next thing you want to do is make sure you texture
your milk well.
Literally,
60 to 65 degrees Celsius.
Danny's dictionary moment of the week. Would you like to describe what paraphernalia means, Danny? We love it. No, I've paused the video because I'm not going to lie. The combination of the Australian accent and the sheer detail of coffee terms is just doing it for me. Like, I love when people talk in detail about something so mundane.
Yeah, I know. Well, this is my life.
This is my life.
So this coffee shop job that I've been doing, this is the context for the video. It's basically an Australian guy, or he could be Kiwi, to be fair. He could be. I don't know. There's no information on this man. He is doing a latte art demonstration. And I've worked in a coffee shop from when I was 15. Little baby Danny.
So like last week or?
Oh yeah, like last week, yeah.
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, years later. But the training I've had on this job compared to the first one, because the first one was a local cafe and just blitz the milk and make it as frothy as possible. Like, it was very...
Frothy coffee, Danny. Would you like your milk frothy, Danny?
Oh, yes, please.
That's a callback to week one for our regular listeners.
Yeah.
Carry on, sorry.
But yeah, the coffee training I've received on this job,
impeccable.
I'd have to go to the roastery to have my coffee training. And I'd be there surrounded by bags of beans.
I'm sorry, you can't just drop the roastery like it's a normal thing. Is that the place where all the coffee's roasted?
Literally, yeah. Okay. It's where the beans get roasted.
Just checking. That's insane. And
I know.
So the coffee shop sent you there?
Yeah. And I got trained by so they're sort of becoming a franchise, the coffee shop.
Right, okay.
So they've got loads of different stores. They're opening up more. I think they're probably going that way. Like they're going
I was
going
to say, like, for one little cafe to have a full roastery at the disposal.
I know. Like, but they had a woman solely responsible for training people in coffee. And she was amazing. And she, obviously, you know, they're big on the latte art. I was terrible at it. I still probably am. Because I'm used to just, like, making it really frothy. So it's like untraining yourself to do it one way and do it another way. But there is so much information. Like, honestly, every little thing about coffee you could modify.
Yeah.
Like the type of water you're using. Who thinks about this?
What are the different types of water?
Or like different filtrations. Oh, I don't even know if that's the right word. But like different filtered water.
That's insane.
I know. Obviously the beans. I won't continue, but you get the idea. Like, it's just insane. Go to 4 minutes. Everyone skipped 4 minutes because he does like a really weird, I don't even know what the creature is.
He keeps saying sticky and I love it.
I know. He does keep saying sticky. I've never heard to milk being referred to sticky.
I'm not going to lie. He does sound Australian.
Yeah.
Kiwi's a little harsher. Am I right? Maybe.
I don't know. Feels like it.
4 minutes. Here we go. Yeah, oh my god!
Look at this thing he's creating.
That's insane.
What is it? How does he do that?
Honestly, my flatmate at uni started working at a coffee shop and he got so good at the like coffee art. I was like, it's such a talent.
So that's my muggle job video.
I love it. What a great. See, this is why Let's Talk Videos is my favourite section. We might have to just do a spin-off series where we just, it's just me and you sat watching videos. As if people want to watch that, but we'd want to watch.
We would, yeah. We might have to make it a YouTube series.
Yeah, do you know? Guys, you need to keep listening. You need to keep funding us. We've got all these cracking ideas. That, yeah, definitely two people watching videos while being filmed. That's not been done before, has it? Gogglebox.
No,
every YouTube series at the moment. Janny reacts.
Oh my god.
No.
Finally, we're going to talk about topic two, which is success. Ah, the elusive demon. Ah,
success. Yeah, what is success, mum?
I guess it's important to talk about what is success, or what do people see as success? Because I definitely have my own conflict with this in my own life.
I love that.
Because I think I set the bar way too high for myself. So I don't celebrate the little wins, you know?
Do you know what? I can relate to that so bloody much.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're too hard on ourselves. Not me and you specifically, like as a group of thespians, as a collective, I think we're all... We just don't celebrate when we get those little wins. Like getting an audition. I think there's so much pressure now. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's then the people on Twitter who are literally like, got an audition today. Sat on the train today. Going to an audition today. And it's like, yeah, we get it. We get it. But like celebrate in your own way. Have a glass of wine.
Yeah.
I think we need to start monitoring how often I suggest getting wine. It's becoming a problem.
We need to have a cap on it or a sound.
Yeah. We need Danny's book corner sound.
Danny's dictionary
sound. James's wine sound. Don't, the editors are going to be going mad. They're going to be like, stop adding things.
Give us another segment.
Just please, we want to talk. That's all we want to do, darling.
Oh, dear.
But yeah, you're totally right. I think we need to celebrate wins more. And what you said there about what other people think about success, I think that's really important too, because actually what we perceive as success, like to me, getting any kind of work where I'm being paid to act is success. Mm. However, if I speak to my family, unless I'm on the television...
Yeah.
Or at the National.
Yeah.
Even then, like, I was at Leeds Playhouse at Christmas just gone, As I think I've mentioned, I was in the revival of Ella Hixon's Wendy and Peter Pan. Fantastic. The fact that I was working with Ella Hixon, I met Ella Hixon. I sat in a room with her, had conversations with her, gave her a hug. She's incredible. I love the woman. But to me, if you told 13-year-old me that I'd be doing that in my 20s, I would have died. But to my family, Ella Hixon, it was like, oh, has she wrote for the BBC? has she wrote for telly? I don't know why the Northern, I'm from Birmingham, but anyone old, this, if you haven't learnt this already, anyone old in my head is an old Northern lady. We love it. But yeah, so it was only when my parents actually sat in the Playhouse, because it's quite big, it's the biggest theatre I've performed in, professionally anyway. And yeah, it was kind of, oh, this is actually good then. And it's like, oh, what is success? But no, for a lot of people, it's unless you're on Coronation Street. You've had it, haven't you? We've all had it. Why don't you just message Coronation Street? Get on there. Thanks, Deirdre. I hadn't thought about that. I hadn't thought at all.
My mum says some of the most hilarious things. She'll be like, oh, I saw in the paper that they're looking for...
I love it already.
For some sort of, you know, celebrity lookalike. I think you should apply. And I'm like...
Who is it?
Mum, I don't look like Sharon Osbourne.
Sharon Osbourne!
But thanks. Or she'll go, oh... I've seen that Kate Moss has got an agency now.
You should
apply. It's always, you should apply.
Oh, Netflix are casting a new series. You should apply.
You should apply.
It's a Sea Life documentary, Mum. Who am I going to play? Whale number one.
Also, rude.
Yeah. Rude, disrespectful.
But my mum's quite good. Like, she's, other than that, she's always... telling me, I think I'm your parents in the situation. And then she's coming to watch stuff and she's like, no, but it's good, Dan. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, no, it's good, but it's not this.
Yeah.
Or it's not, you know, it's not the National or it's not this. And that's not to say I haven't enjoyed all the jobs I've done. Like, I know I've been really lucky and done some amazing things and I do appreciate them.
It's in the moment, isn't it?
Wanting to get more.
I think we've spoke about this before and I'm pretty much the same. I sort of reflectively appreciate how good things are and not sometimes I miss the moment where I'm like, I'm here. I don't feel present. I think I get wrapped up in the job and then don't appreciate it for what it is sometimes. But I'm trying to get better at that.
Yeah. It's a journey. I think also the longer you go, well, I don't know. Mine comes in waves. I think initially when I left drama school, the jobs I got, I was so... Oh my God, I was ecstatic because I was like, I'm getting paid to do what I love. This is incredible. And then the longer and longer you go out of drama school, throw in a pandemic.
Bitter, you're like, right, jaded.
Okay. When is BBC One calling me up?
When am I getting that primetime drama with Saran Jones? Right.
Yeah.
Sarah Lancashire.
Because it ain't happened yet.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Where's Phoebe Waller-Bridge with the next Fleabag? Why is she? What's she doing? Oh, she's writing for Hollywood. Good for her.
For God's sake.
What about me, Phoebe? What about me? Again, dear. If you're listening, Phoebe, we love you. We think you're very talented. If you would like to write.
Hashtag not an ad.
Hashtag not an ad.
But I think as one gets older.
Oh, reflective.
Like, you know. Harking back to your little video of the child trying to have a poo.
Words of wisdom, I feel them.
It is important to celebrate successes that aren't acting related.
Oh, God,
because
so
I think it can become so consuming and you're like, oh, my God, this is my life. This is my world. I'm going to, like, flog myself to get to the, you know, ITV studios. And it's like, actually, there are other successes you can have. Like, you can buy a house, you know. Have, I don't know, some sort of plan a nice party or I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like just redecorate your room.
Hey, you can get out of bed in the morning and make a cup of tea. Like, for some people, yeah. Like, we know how bad mental health's got over the last few years with lockdown. Mm. And honestly, if you are struggling, if you're just having a crap time, if you can get out of bed and make a cup of tea, if you can walk from the bedroom to the lounge and feel okay, that's success. I think society puts so much pressure on us to make big, and I feel this with drag at the minute. So doing drag performances, and there was a very funny tweet. I think it was from Kimchi, who's a RuPaul's Drag Race queen. And she was like, unless there's three wig reveals, three outfit changes, doing a death drop and splits in the number, the gays aren't interested. And I was like, that is so true. Because at the minute, I feel like I had a performance on last Sunday. And it was a 3.5 minute number. It was dead standard. There was two songs mashed together with like a split in the middle, and then a funny little, it was the Lady Gaga quote of her going, talented, brilliant, amazing, spectacular, showstopper, totally unique, and that was in there as a little added joke. And I was like, I'm not doing enough. And I was like, what are you talking about? You're doing a 3.5 minute number that you've edited together, and you're performing in full drag. And I was like, just because I'm not doing a costume reveal or a wig change, or although my wig did come off, I had intended to do a wig reveal and then cancelled it at the last minute, but the wig came off anyway because I didn't secure it down. So I was like, oh, well, should have just done the wig reveal, would have been fine. But it worked. It was fabulous. But yeah, the pressure on you to be better every time. And we kind of back ourselves into this corner of always trying to outdo ourselves. And actually, just doing something really good.
And that makes you happy.
Yeah. Like, and if that is going downstairs and cooking a nice breakfast for yourself in the morning, going to the gym when you feel a bit naff, but get in there. That's great. If you read another page of that book that you're trying to get through that you feel like you're not getting anywhere with.
Yeah.
I often feel like I'm just rereading pages with books sometimes. I've sat there and I got through that chapter, and then I'm like, I have no clue what happened in there at all.
It's been 7 weeks since I picked this up.
And I'm still on page two.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground in this episode.
Haven't we just?
Yeah.
That's been one of my favourites, I think. I think it's so personal, isn't it? What success is and what our muggle job experiences are. Yeah. I love it.
Oh, what are your final thoughts?
Do you know what? I think you've covered it in saying do what makes you happy. I think that's what it should be about. You should be doing things that make you feel good. Not everybody else. Obviously, we go through life, don't we? And we want to please other people, partners, friends. But hey, if you don't want to go to that bar for that drink on that Wednesday night, don't go. People will understand. If you don't want to go to that casting, that's a really good one. If you've got an audition and it's just too much for you currently, say no to it.
Yeah.
Obviously, if it's the National, BBC.
Pull your big boots up and
Quentin Tarantino, yeah. Look, just give yourself a kick in the backside. But no, if it's too much for you, just say no and be the champion of your own success.
Oh, I love that. That's so nice. Oh, yeah, I agree with you. I think do what makes you happy and that can pay your rent.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, it's a real problem because everything is so expensive now, the energy crisis. I won't go, you know, too pessimistic, but I think
it's hard though, isn't it? Like,
it's really
bad. We're all struggling and no one talks about it. Like, I've not spoke to anyone properly about actually saying, do you know what, bills are really starting to hit me now.
It's really bad. But I mean, and it's hard for, I think it's hardest for people like us who are self-employed.
Yes.
And who do multiple jobs or random sporadic bits of work and then, you're out of work again because job security, you have none. And so when you're going off on tour and then you come back, you're trying, you know, expecting to come back to a job. I've had exactly this. I've come back and expected to be working like 3-4 shifts a week, and I've been giving 2, yeah. 1, which is why I'm going to have to go find something else. But yeah, I don't want to get too down in the dumps, but I think just figure out what is important to you. If it's important to have loads of flexibility, get a job where you have that. If it's important to pay the rent and then some and be able to save, get something a bit more stable that you don't hate.
Well,
that
like,
can give you the
exactly
funds, you
like
know?
You were saying earlier, what your success is isn't necessarily what someone else's success idea of success is. So do you, and literally just make sure you're happy first, and if you're happy and successful, then great.
Yeah, because these muggle jobs, you know, they're not what we really want to do.
No.
So you've got to make sure that it actually fits
exactly
what you want.
Yeah.
Because,
or on the reverse to that, maybe you find out that that muggle job is your success. Like, I had, I knew someone who was an actor trained at my school and then ended up being a car salesman and literally just gave it up and was like, do you know what? I'm earning great money. I really love doing what I'm doing. I'm just going to do it.
Oh.
Yeah. And then he, I think as far as I'm still aware, he's still doing that, which is insane.
Oh, good for him.
I know. So success is what you make of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that was a really good way to finish. So I'm going to shut up. This is my thing now. I'm going to shut up when I say something good. So I'm done. Bye.
What's it called when you like, when you do a phrase that's like really impactful and it ends the conversation? What's it? I feel like that's a phrase.
I don't know, Danny, but I can't comment on it because I've shut up. No, I know what you mean, but
I don't know what it's called. Is it like a mic drop moment? I don't know.
Yeah, well, it is.
Well, yeah.
Go on, you've got to have a mic drop moment.
I've got to have a mic drop moment.
Or we can't finish the episode. That's the rule.
Okay, here we go. Are we ready? Don't buy an electric scooter.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.